And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Every day, it seems, I get letters online, email, or even in print, you know, regular paper sent through the mail. And these letters seek to correct Tex Mars, to correct me and my teachings of the Bible about the Jews in Israel. And, you know, this is a very important subject. There are 18 million Jews in the world, and I believe it's important for their salvation, for their happiness. So, we believe very strongly here at Power of Prophecy, ours is a witnessing instrument. Our ministry is an evangelical ministry to the Jews. Now, some people just want us to forget about the 18 million Jews and I suppose let them all just go to hell. Don't tell them the truth. Leave them in darkness. This is what most Christians do, of course, but I think that's a horrible thing. I believe that we should not exclude 18 million human beings from the Word of God. Who am I to say that Jews cannot be saved? Some people even say that. Some people have accused me of preaching that. But I've always preached one thing, that Jesus and the Holy Bible says, whosoever will may come. So the invitation is to the whole world. And I'm not going to stop preaching to the Muslims or the Hindus or the Jews or any others, even the witches and the Satanists. I'm not going to give up on these people, and I'm not going to exclude them from the goodness and the mercy of God. Who am I to do such a terrible thing? And the same goes for the shamans and the witch doctors of Alaska and South America and on and on and on. Now, unfortunately, there are Christian groups and Christian leaders who are now preaching that the Jews do not need to know Jesus Christ and that they are to be excluded from evangelical efforts and missionary outreach. Of one such is a man that they call the Pope Benedict the 16th. Pope Benedict the 16th. He's the Pope now. Since the death of Pope John Paul II, he was elected by the cardinals of the so-called Curia, C-U-R-I-A. And he is now leading this 1 billion member monstrosity they call simply the Vatican or the Catholic Church. Now, there are many elements of Christianity within the Catholic Church. But you know, that's like saying that a cat walks on 4 feet and has a tail and ears, so it must be a dog. Well, not necessarily. So we have to really specify what a Christian is, what a Christian church is. But I know one thing. I know a Christian, to be true to his or her faith, must believe in God's word and what it says. And I want to tell you right now up front that it says that Jews, of course, must be leaving Jesus just like Gentiles. In fact, the Bible says that there is no such thing as a Jew or a Gentile in terms of faith and salvation. Now, I know that's an unpopular thing today because they're the racist and the bigots who want all the Jews to go to unholy blazes. And then there are those who just say, oh, the Jews are so superior. Their bloodline and their DNA is so magnificent that they don't even need Christ Jesus. Well, oh my. Let's correct these things, shall we? And, you know, I've done enough exposing of Protestant churches, the Billy Grahams and the Jerry Falwells and the Rick Warrens and the others. Hey, let's concentrate today on the Vatican, on Pope Benedict the 16th, and we're going to see the incredible doctrinal problems of the Catholic Church as reflected in their newest teachings about the Jews. And I might add, even about the Muslims, as far as that goes, we'll get into that. Now, I want you to understand something, dear friends. It is true that as far as the other religions, that is, those, that are not Christian, Hinduism, Buddhism, and so forth, are concerned, including the Jews and Islam, it's very important to understand that while we preach to these people, while we reach out to them in love and in kindness and in mercy, we must not give to them the things of faith. They said, what do you mean by that? You can preach Jesus, but don't give them Jesus. You see, God chooses. God chooses his people. Now, if I go out onto the street and a man walks by and I say, you're a Christian. He says, why? Well, because you're black skinned. So that makes you a Christian. And you're a Mexican. No, you're going to hell because you have brown skin. That would be wrong, would it not? You're giving the things of God to this man because he has a certain color of skin. Who are you to give the things of God to anyone? God chooses whosoever he will. And if you say, because you're a Jew, I'll go ahead and give you these things of God. Who are you, O man or woman, to do such a thing? How do you know God has chosen that person? The Bible tells us how we can know if a person is chosen by God. The Bible says, if you believe in the one whom he sent, his son, Jesus Christ, then are ye a child of the Father. But if you do not believe in the one whom he has sent, that is Jesus Christ, his son, you are not of God. Instead, you are of that evil one. Now, I don't go up to a Hindu guru and say, you're a godly man. And I'm not going to go up to a Jewish rabbi and say, what a godly person you are. Or a Buddhist monk. Or anyone else. I'm not going to. We have the American Atheist Foundation here in Austin. You know the old group that Madeline Murray O'Hare was the leader of before she was murdered by another fellow atheist for her gold. I am not about to go visit, and I know exactly where their headquarters is here in Austin. And many years ago, you know, I had a nice little friendly debate, personal debate with Madeline Murray O'Hare and witnessed to her about Jesus, and she didn't respond too kindly to my witnessing. But in any case, I'm not going to go there and say to them, you people are so sincere. You're so lovely. You're so wonderful. God is going to bless you. No, they are enemies of Christ. Now, if you want to go to the American Atheist Foundation headquarters and preach to them Jesus and make them angry, I think that is perfectly acceptable. I've made a lot of people angry in my lifetime. And you know, some of them have written back thanking me and even apologizing for their treatment of me. They have. You might be amazed at the letters I get, people saying, thank God for you. You may not remember me, Tex Mars, but I just cursed you out back in, you know, September of 1987, you know, and, you know, Alabama, you were there for a conference, and I told you you were a jerk. Well, I don't think you're a jerk anymore, Brother Tex. I believe like you do. Now, you see, I'm not saying we should treat these people roughly. I don't go down to the American Atheist Foundation and pull my sword out of the scabbard and start chopping heads off. I don't go in the Buddhist temple, and we have one here in Austin, Texas, and go in there and say, hey, you're all going to hell. You're a bunch of bad people, and start throwing rocks at them. But when I have the opportunity and I meet a gentleman and he says, I'm a Buddhist, and I may very kindly say, why are you a Buddhist? Have you ever considered Jesus? That, my friends, is what our mission in life is, our purpose. Now, not to be evil to people, but to bring people a blessing. That's what we do. My purpose in life is to bless you on this radio show. Some people don't think I'm giving them a blessing, but I really am. And it will be borne out in due time. Now, I want you to understand, though, Jesus says the things of God you cannot give to the swine. Now, that sounds very cruel, but they are swine. They are pigs. They're hogs. They're swines. Now, that doesn't sound right, but God even called them goats. And they are different than you and me as Christians. It doesn't mean we hate them. Of course not. But we must recognize what they are. You know, a couple years back, some man loved the environment and loved wildlife so much that he went to live with the grizzly bears. And he had his own camera, as I understand it, if I remember the story straight, he had the camera aimed at him. His camera, he put it up in a tree, and he began to dance with the huge grizzly bears. I think it was up in Canada somewhere there, and you know, divide his food with them. And then he pointed to the camera and waved. He really thought he could get along well with the bears until they turned around and ate him. And they actually had the film. They didn't show the most grotesque parts. And his family said he had the mistaken belief that the only thing missing was that people didn't love bears enough to go out and live with them and share with them and, you know, cavort with them out in the woods. Friends, the bears have a certain kind of nature. Their nature calls on them to eat people when they get the opportunity. You know, wolves have always eaten sheep, livestock. But the stupid environmentalists wanted to defy the nature of the wolves, and they began to introduce these horribly efficient wolves into Yellowstone National Park and so forth several years back. And the ranchers started saying, we're losing sheep, we're losing livestock. And the environmentalists, the crazy earth lovers, said, oh, it can't be the wolves. Why, they don't do those things, huh? They don't do those things. A couple years ago, I looked outside. You know, I had to get up to use the bathrooms in the middle of the night, which sometimes happens, as you know. And I was going toward the bathroom. I looked out the window, and there was a coyote chasing some deer in my yard. Now, what was I supposed to do? Say, well, isn't that fun? They're having fun. They're playing together. Look, the deer and the coyote, aren't they having a ball? Joy, joy. Friends, I recognize what was happening. That coyote wanted a deer. He wanted to eat. Now, these are swine. And these people are going to be swine until they have Jesus in their hearts. And Jesus says, do not give those things which are holy unto the swine. That's in the Gospel of Matthew. If you do, they're going to turn around, trample on them, and then rend you. Think about that. Here, piggy, here, piggy. And you give the piggy the holy things. He throws them down. He tramples on them. And then he turns around and he's going to get you. And he's got some sharp teeth and maybe some tusks. And he's going to poke you a little bit. And you're going to wish you hadn't done that. I want to tell you something, friends. In my lifetime, there have been occasions when I gave things that were holy to the swine. I'm not talking about evangelical messages. I'm talking about how, you know, just accepting these people almost as equals in a spiritual level. And you better watch out. They turned around and they rent me real good. I learned my lesson. Now, if my Muslim neighbor wants me to go down, and I've said this before, to the city council, or my Jewish neighbor wants me to go down and complain about the potholes in the road, that's just fine. But if he wants to come to my church and pray with me, that's not going to happen. There's a difference between prayer and potholes. I know the difference. Do you? You probably do. But most Christians don't. Now, Jesus knew the difference. And he's not going to give the things of God to the devil. The devil doesn't deserve them. He doesn't appreciate them. He will blaspheme God and trample on those things. Don't give the things that are holy. So don't tell the Jews, oh, what a wonderful, lovely, spiritual people you are. To the Hindus, isn't it wonderful that in the Hindu faith there are some good things about it? You're giving the things of God to these people. One of the pro-life leaders some years ago, I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. Would you invite to a prayer meeting Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews? And would you pray with them for victory in the pro-life movement together, working together? Oh, yes, he said. I do that quite frequently. I don't have a problem at all praying with Muslims and Jews and Hindus. I said, really? Oh, you've got to do that. That's interfaith. The pro-life movement is interfaith. I said, well, who are you praying to? Well, I'm praying to Jesus. Well, who are they praying to? God, he said. I said, well, the Hindus have 3 million gods and goddesses. Which one exactly are they praying to? Well, I don't know, he said. I said, well, I know. I know which God they're praying to. He said, who? I said, the devil. All 3 million are devils. He was giving the things of God. If he really is a Christian, you can't hold hands with a Hindu who's praying to devils and think that you're accomplishing something. What you're doing is insulting the Holy Ghost. You're insulting the Holy Ghost. Now, let's get back to Pope Benedict. We have a program here, and I want to explain it to you. Here's an item just came out from Rome, dated September 25th, 2008. In a historic move to reinforce Jewish-Catholic dialogue, doesn't that sound nice? Dialogue. Pope Benedict the 16th has asked an Israeli rabbi to become the first Jewish spiritual leader to address a Roman Catholic synod. That's a conference. Father Federico Lombardi, I hope I got that right, the Vatican spokesman, said that Shir Yashuv Cohen, the grand rabbi of Haifa, Israel, would address the two-day synod of bishops in Rome next month. That did occur. That was in October. The conference will be convened by the Pope to discuss the Bible, with the theme being the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. More than 200 bishops are expected to attend. Now let's get this straight. The Pope asked an Israeli rabbi to come and teach his bishops and cardinals, the 200 top leaders of the Catholic Church. And so Rabbi Cohen, the grand rabbi, I like those titles, sort of reminds me of the grand imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan or something, you know, the mighty imperial potentate of the grand order of the Druids or something. So here he's going to preach on the word of God and the life and mission of the church to the Pope and his bishops. I'm sure it was a marvelous meeting. Now, the Apostle Paul had something to say about those who are not Christians and putting them in teaching positions. He said the natural man, that is a person just born into this world, who does not know God, is not spiritually born again in Jesus Christ, is just a natural person. The natural man, Paul said, receiveth not the things of God. He said, neither can he, because he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually given. A person who does not have Jesus Christ in his heart can be an intellectual. And friends, I taught at the University of Texas at Austin, one of the world's most prestigious schools, for 5 years, and there were 1,600. That's right. At that one university, and there are about somewhat 60,000 students there. 60,000. It's like a small city. That includes the University of Texas Law School, by the way. 1,600 professors and instructors there. But most of them were natural people, and they were intellectuals. But what they knew about spiritual things could be put inside a thimble. Do you know what a thimble is? It's that little bitty thing that protects one of your fingers while you're sewing. Remember old grandma? Well, a lot of young girls do it too, or men maybe. I don't know. Nowadays, you take the needle in your hand and you don't want to stick yourself accidentally with a pin prick or a needle prick, and so you have a little thimble on your finger to protect you. Very small. It's not even a bottle cap size inside. But what a Jewish rabbi knows about spiritual things, dear friends, couldn't even be put inside a thimble or a bottle cap. Because this Mr. Cohen, and I don't call him grand rabbi, because rabbi means master. And Jesus says, call no man master. Don't do it. In fact, one man came up to Jesus and said, master. And he says, why do you call me master? Why do you call me master? Call no man master except the Father in heaven. You say, oh, well, Jesus then wasn't that high enough to be master. Listen to me. That man who addressed him as master or rabbi, actually addressed him as rabbi, didn't really believe that Jesus was one with the Father. So he just said, hey, rabbi. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, why are you calling me rabbi? In other words, you don't believe that I'm God. So he discerned that person's heart. You don't believe that I am sent by God as the Messiah, so why are you calling me rabbi? Don't call anybody rabbi except God. To you, I'm just another man. Of course, that was the mistake the gentleman made, wasn't it? So, Rabbi Cohen, it says here in this news release, is well known in Italy and the Vatican for his active promotion of Jewish-Catholic relations. And in April, Pope Benedict himself, who has followed, now this comes out of the Vatican now, who has followed John Paul II in giving priority to Jewish-Catholic dialogue, became the first pontiff to enter a synagogue when he visited the United States. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, Pope Benedict XVI will also be only the second pope to meet with Muslim scholars and teachers in a conference at the Vatican this autumn. But then we go a little bit further. Maybe it goes down a little bit, you know, from the Jews to the Muslims. It says, in another innovation, Pope Benedict has nominated 6 female scholars to attend the synod as experts and another 19 to attend as observers. So he's meeting with the Muslims and the Jews and, of course, got the females coming. Oh, he's getting the whole group, isn't he? I guess the homosexuals will be next, except that most Catholic priests already are homosexuals. So I suppose of the 200 bishops and cardinals, that Rabbi Cohen is going to preach to, I would say probably 150 of them are gays and pedophiles. So you've already got the homosexuals within the church already. You say, Tex, do you have any evidence of that? Of course I do. Get my CD or audio tape report entitled Catholic Empire of the Queers. 60 minutes, $8, $4 shipping and handling. I'll give you all the evidence you need about the Catholic Empire of the Queers, the Catholic Church. Now, let's go a little further here. I want you to understand that Pope Benedict the 16th was, before he took upon this new name, while he was a cardinal, he had his adopted name, which was Ratzinger. Ratzinger. Now, I'm not going to make fun of that name. It is a little strange, I'll admit. Ratzinger, R-A-T-Z-I-N-G-E-R, like the two words, rat and zinger. And they said, and by fact, I have a listing here from the Jewish Virtual Library. The Jewish Virtual Library, which is online, has an entry about Pope Benedict the 16th. It says a lot of good things about him. We'll talk about that in a moment. But one of the things it says is that Pope Benedict, as Cardinal Ratzinger, which was his prior name or title, was a spiritual bed partner. I'm assuming that means spiritual, and that's all. A spiritual bed partner of Pope John Paul II. In fact, it was Pope John Paul II who way back in 1981 had named Ratzinger, had given him the title of prefect. Now, here again, they love these big titles. Prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Now, formerly, that position was known as the Holy Office of the Inquisition. That's what Ratzinger was. He was head or prefect of the Holy Office of the Inquisition, but that was renamed in 1908 by Pope Pius X. So now he's made by Pope John Paul II prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So he was like the doctrinal leader of the Catholic Church beginning in 1981. He was closer to John Paul II than any other cardinal. They were called spiritual or intellectual bedfellows. This is now in the Jewish Virtual Library online. It says here he was one of the most influential men in the Vatican even before he became pope. He presided over the funeral of John Paul II and the conclave in 2005 that elected him. All right? Now, we're going to take a little break in a minute. I'm going to go into the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And we're going to see, because the Catechism of the Catholic Church actually was authored by Cardinal Ratzinger. What does he say about the Jews? What does he say about the Muslims? What does the Catholic Church really teach? And why is it that the rabbis are now in charge of the Vatican in Rome? You're listening to Tex Mars. I'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, back when Pope John Paul II was still alive and was the leader of the Vatican and the huge numbers of the Catholic Church, I did a video, and it was entitled, believe it or not, Is the Pope Catholic? A lot of people sort of laughed at that title, but I meant it. Is the Pope Catholic? Of course, the question would be, what is Catholic? What is the Catholic Church? What is its teachings? But in this video, and I'm going to offer it to you now, so please get a pencil and paper, or a pen and paper, and take down our phone number and such. You'll want this video. Is the Pope Catholic? 60 minutes. Now, we're going to offer it for just $20. Just $20. Please add $4 shipping and handling. You know, in 1978, Pope Paul VI passed away. And this was a man that was Pope, who was Pope only a very short time, 33 days. That's a very important number in Freemasonry, as you know. And it was said that Pope Paul VI was determined, after he became Pope, to expose the Masonic occult satanic conspiracy that had dug its way into the Roman Catholic Church and institution. Just before his untimely death in 1978, Pope Paul VI had discovered this shocking conspiracy. And he told his aides, he says, the smoke, this is a quote by him, the smoke of Satan has entered the sanctuary. But after only 33 days, he was found dead. It is believed that he was poisoned by those who feared his disclosures. And a new pope, John Paul II, took office. Just 3 short years later, this pope, Pope John Paul II, placed Cardinal Ratzinger in control of the doctrine of the Catholic Church. And now that Cardinal Ratzinger from Germany is the current pope of the Catholic Church, who takes the title Pope Benedict XVI. But in this video, you will see Pope John Paul II as he brings to its zenith the true teachings of the modern day Catholic Church. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, you need this video, because everything that Pope John Paul II does and teaches in this video is the same as the doctrine of his chief assistant, who is now Pope Benedict XVI. So if you want to know what Pope Benedict XVI taught and practiced and still does, get this video. You will be shocked as you see and hear the Pope of Rome as he bows down before the throne of Buddhism's chief monk. You will be amazed as he takes, this is the Pope. Actually, I have film clips of this. You will see him take the mark of the Hindu god Shiva in his forehead from a Hindu priestess. You will be amazed as you see with your own eyes the Pope of Rome pray with leaders of Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, African tribal witch doctors, Asian shaman, Zoroastrian fire worshippers, Togo snake handlers. Huh? You say, can it be? Oh, yes. You will see him kneel and pray at the gravesite of India's most famous guru. You will see him kiss with his own lips the Holy Quran, the scriptures of Islam and Allah. You will see him overseeing young dancing priestesses and even endorsing the restoration of ancient Aztec Indian rituals. Aztecs, which included, of course, throat slashing, the tearing out and cannibalizing of human hearts, and so forth. Is the Pope Catholic? What does Pope Benedict XVI really believe and practice? This is the video. $24 postpaid, shipping everything included. Get this video. Now, please, please, dear friends, specify whether you want the DVD or the VHS, the older format. The DVD or the VHS. And that's the one we'll send you. How to get Is the Pope Catholic? Well, just send us $24. Send that to, by check, money order, or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can call us in the United States and Canada, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Or finally, you can go online to our website. We have a little internal search engine and type, is the Pope Catholic? And it'll come up, and then you can order it on our website, which is powerofprophecy.com. And now let's return to our regular program. We're asking the question, do the rabbis today rule over the Vatican? And I want you to understand that they do indeed. Now, when I was a young man growing up, all the Catholics told me about their catechism classes. I had a lot of Catholic friends that I went to school with, and they said they all learned, or they were taught from something called the Baltimore Catechism, and it dated all the way back to the 20s or 30s. But listen to this now. Just in the last couple of decades, Pope John Paul II, with his doctrinal teacher and leader, who is now Pope Benedict XVI, collaborated on a new catechism of the Catholic Church. And I have here in my little hot hands that very volume, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can buy it at Catholic bookstores. I wanted to know, and I wanted to know what were the changes. And so I compared this volume, okay, dated very recently, from Benedict and before him the Pope. Actually, they say this was really the author. The author of this actually was Pope Benedict XVI. I compared it with the old Baltimore Catechism, and I did a whole volume. You can order that, by the way, for $12 postpaid, Hidden Secrets in the New Catholic Catechism. You can order that. Now, I want to go to just a couple that you may be interested in. What does Pope Benedict XVI believe in terms of the Jews and Muslims? Do they need to convert to either Catholicism or even believe in Jesus at all? Let's find out. And I have, as I said, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I'm reading item or article number, let's go page 222. Now, this is the edition. Let me make sure you understand. Published, it's the Vatican edition, Vatican Library edition, page 222, begins with asking the question, who are Christians? Who are Christians? Now, first it says, it talks about the relationship of the Catholic Church, or just the Church, because they're speaking for all Christians. Although they don't speak for me, do they speak for you? But they pretend to. And it says here about the relationship of the Church with the Jewish people. It says, when she delves into her own mystery, the Church, the people of God in the New Covenant, discovers her link with the Jewish people. The Jewish faith, it says, is already a response to God's revelation in the Old Covenant. The Jews have already responded to God's revelation in the Old Covenant. That's it. They already have God. They don't need Jesus. But then it goes a little further. It says here, and when one considers the future, God's people of the Old Covenant tend towards similar goals. Expectation of the coming or return of the Messiah. But one, that is the Christian Church, awaits the return of the Messiah who died and rose from the dead and is recognized as Lord and Son of God. The other awaits the coming of a Messiah. Wow. So, in other words, we both have the same Messiah, We're waiting for him to return, and they're waiting for him to come. Now get that. According to the Catholic Catechism, we have similar expectations. It's just that we expect Christ, the Messiah, to return, and there the Jews are awaiting his coming. So there's the catechism is saying it's okay that they rejected him the first time because he's coming again anyway. But what they don't understand, Mr. Ratzinger, now known as Mr. Pope Benedict the 16th, is that the Jews are not waiting for Christ Jesus. They're not awaiting his coming. They're awaiting the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Say, Tex, that's pretty harsh. Isn't that pretty harsh? You're saying the Jews are awaiting the Antichrist? Of course, they're already Antichrist. Let me prove that to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar? This is the Apostle John speaking. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He is an Antichrist. So if the Jew says, well, I don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah who came, I'm waiting for our Jewish Messiah to come. Friend, he already came and you rejected him and even put him on the cross. And now you're waiting for someone who will be the Antichrist because you denied Jesus Christ and you're still denying him. Verse 23 goes on to say in 1 John chapter 2, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. If you do not acknowledge Jesus, you do not have the Father. And your expectation can only be of the coming son of the devil known as the Antichrist. Wow. Now, that's why Pope John Paul II always called the Jews our elder brothers. They're not my brother. That's a spiritual term. They are of the Antichrist. Now, if a Jew comes to know Jesus, he is a changed person, or she, and then they are my brother or sister. That's a different relationship. But if a Jew has rejected the coming of Jesus in the flesh as God, then they are of the Antichrist. And that's what John said, and John ought to know. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He gave us the book of Revelation. I think he knows about the coming of the Antichrist. Now we get to Pope Benedict the 16th's writings here on page 223 of the New Catholic Catechism about the church's relationship with the Muslims. We've already seen the Catholic Church believes the Jews are our elder brothers and have their own old covenant relationship with God. And that's all they need. Now we have the Muslims. It says here, quote, and I'm going to quote this. Now get ready. You may fall off your chair. It says, the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator. In the first place, amongst whom are the Muslims? These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us, they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. Together with us, they adore the one merciful God. But didn't I just read to you from the Bible, if you deny the Son, you have not the Father? And yet the Catholic Catechism written, authored by Pope Benedict the 16th, has the audacity, the blasphemous audacity, I might add, to actually declare that the Muslims together with Christians, adore the one merciful God. No, they don't. It's an impossibility. There's only one name. One name by which a man can be saved. The name of Jesus. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father, and vice versa. And so here we see the Muslims don't need Jesus either. The plan of salvation includes them simply because they believe in the Creator. Well, nicey-nicey. They believe in Allah, the Creator. And the Jews believe in their God, and they hate Jesus and despise him and call him a bastard in their holy book, most holy book, by the way, the Talmud. And the Catholic Church turns around and says, oh, well, that's okay. They have their old covenant. They don't need our new covenant. And as far as the Muslims go, as long as they believe in God, oh, yeah, that's good. Friends, there are plenty of people out there who believe in God. And you, why don't you go to the rat temple where they have the rats scurrying about, and they believe in that the spirits of their ancestors are now in rats in India, and they believe in God too. They believe in a God. It goes on to say right here in the catechism, again, this is Pope Benedict. He says, the church's bond with non-Christian religions is in the first place the common origin and end of the human race. It goes on to say that all the people on earth share a common destiny, namely God. Really? Everybody's destiny is God? But Jesus himself in the story of Lazarus and the rich man says that there is a gulf that separates the lost sinner who dies and goes down into hell, and he's separated. There is a bridge, there is a chasm, there is a gulf that separates them from those in heaven. Don't you remember that? The story of the rich man who died and found himself in hell, and he begged and says, please, if I could just have, you know, someone from heaven come and just touch my lip. My tongue. It's so parched. It's so hot down here in hell. And what was the message that he was told? Can't do that. There's a separation here. Your destiny, because you rejected God when you were alive, is exactly where you're at. Your destiny is not God. It's hell. He goes on to say here, now listen to this lie. It says, his, that is God, his providence, evident goodness, and saving designs extend to all. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Thus, the church considers all goodness and truth found in these religions as a preparation for the gospel. And given by him who enlightens all men that they may at length have life. Now, listen to that. The goodness and truth found in all religions, I suppose that means witchcraft and Satanism, it says all religions, after all, is given by God. There they're giving the things of God to the swine. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't give the things of God, the spiritual things of God, to the pigs, to the swine, or they'll trample on them and turn around and rend you. And don't think for a moment the Jews and the Muslims, when they get the opportunity, will not turn around and rend the Vatican. The Vatican, oh, we're such wonderful Christians. We love the Jews. We love all Muslims. We accept them as part of our flock. They do not need Jesus. They have God. It's okay. Oh, yes, God gives them goodness and truth. And you think they're going to be your friends because you say that. You think they're going to participate. You think this Rabbi Cohen is going to go and teach you, Benedict, you and your 200 or so other cardinals and bishops, and he's going to be your pal. He's going to be your buddy. You're going to dialogue with him. My friend, listen to me, Catholics out there. When your head is down in the stocks and the sharp blade of the guillotine is felt for just an instant on the back of your neck, remember what I said to you. They will turn around and rend you, because the Muslim and the Hindu and the Jew do not have Jesus. Instead, they are of that evil one, the Antichrist. And they cannot know the spiritual things of this world. They have nothing to offer you but hell. So much for the catechism of the Catholic Church. Now let's go a little bit more in Pope Benedict, because I'm telling you, the rabbis now control the Vatican. Let's look at this very carefully. Now, what do the Jews say about Pope Benedict the 16th, whom they love? Obviously, they love this man. This is from the Jewish Virtual Library online. It says that Rabbi David Rosen, the International Director of Interreligious Affairs for the American Jewish Committee, said the choice of Ratzinger as Pope brings continuity to Catholic-Jewish relations. Pope John Paul II was beloved of the Jews, and now this man. He just continues the continuation. He has a deep commitment to this issue, said Rabbi David Rosen. Meanwhile, Rabbi Israel Singer, chairman of the World Jewish Congress, says that Ratzinger, or Benedict now, is the architect of the Vatican's ideological policy to recognize and have full relations with Israel. He says that as Cardinal Ratzinger, the Pope played a key role on issues related to Judaism. And in fact, in 2002, Pope Benedict XVI, as Ratzinger, put out a publication entitled The Jewish People and the Holy Scriptures. And listen to what it says. This is what Ratzinger, who is now Pope Benedict, wrote. He said that the, quote, the Jewish messianic wait is not in vain. The Jewish messianic wait is not in vain. And this caused Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League to compliment Pope Benedict. Here's what Foxman of the ADL says about Pope Benedict. He has shown his sensitivity countless times in meetings with Jewish leadership and important statements condemning anti-Semitism and expressing profound sorrow for the Holocaust. The Pope's warm tone and repeated emphasis on Christianity's roots in Judaism are aimed at easing the severe strains of the past. Then, in that very same publication written by Pope Benedict as Ratzinger, he says what divides Jews and Christians today is superficial. I want to read that again. What divides is superficial. It's just superficial. Is Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus and the cross, superficial? Well, according to Pope Benedict, it's just superficial. Oh, yes. My goodness gracious. And then he says that we must not rail against the Jews. Quote, they are not excluded from salvation, but they serve salvation in a particular way, and thereby they stand within the patience of God. They're not excluded. They can be saved because God is patient. Well, he is patient with every man. And my friends, until you and I draw our last breath, it may be that God in his mercy is patient with us. But after that last breath is drawn, the Bible says in Hebrews, it is appointed for a man once to die, afterwards the judgment. So now we see then Pope Benedict and what he really believes about the Jews. How he extols the Jews for sharing a spiritual heritage with Christianity. He has never said one word, this Pope, about their hateful Jewish Talmud. Not one thing. That's why Rome's chief rabbi has received a personal invitation to the Sunday Mass. Wow. But the rabbi of Rome, Riccardo di Segni, refused to attend. Isn't that interesting? Pope Benedict offered a personal invitation to the chief rabbi of Rome to come to the Sunday Mass at St. Peter's Cathedral, in which the Pope offers the Mass. But the Pope, the rabbi said, I don't think so. They'll turn around and rend you. That's what'll happen. Meanwhile, Pope Benedict has held his first audience for 25 Jewish leaders from America. That's right. In which he told the rabbis, the Jewish leaders, he said, this is the Pope Benedict speaking, he said, I am convinced that the spiritual patrimony treasured by Christians and Jews is itself the source of the wisdom and inspiration capable of guiding us toward a future of hope in accordance with the divine plan. Gobbledygook. Why didn't the Pope just say, I'm so glad that you 25 Jewish leaders have come here to the Vatican. I wish now to declare to you the name of the Messiah of the Jews and of the Gentiles. His name is Jesus, and by no other name that can a man, whether Jew or Gentile, be saved. Now you see, friends, I have just preached a gospel message, and it's only about 3 sentences long. Did he tell that to the rabbis who came? No. And that's why they came. They knew he wouldn't. They knew he wouldn't preach to them. They knew he wouldn't preach the name of Jesus to them, the name they hate. And yet this stupid Pope Benedict XVI had the gall to say that, quote, the Catholic Church, actually the Church, deplores all manifestations of hatred, persecution, and anti-Semitism. Now that's nice. The Church, said the Pope, deplores all manifestations of hatred, persecution, and anti-Semitism. Well, why didn't he say the Pope or the Church deplores all manifestations of hatred, persecution, and anti-Christianity? This Pope has bowed down to the rabbis. The rabbis are the controllers of the Vatican. And what a shame that is. This Pope is indeed the intellectual bedfellow of the late Pope John Paul II. Is the Pope Catholic? I'm afraid he is, and he continues to be. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been discovering the truth that the rabbis, they sit behind the throne of the Vatican. But friends, Jesus is still on the throne in heaven. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.